Blog Talk Radio.
You make me feel alive.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. Welcome back to another awesome edition of The Point. We welcome you and invite you into our warm studio, the eclectic room on tonight. And we're just super excited every week to come to you in the form of Blog Talk Radio and get in your hearing so that you can gain some insight, some wisdom, some impartation. I mean, we go from one stream to the next, you know, we go from laughter to spiritual impartation. So it's an all-in-one show. So we thank you all for being avid listeners, and we're going to get this show started, but we always like to start off by thanking Log V.
Yes.
That track you hear in our intro, Alive, it should just make you feel so alive, 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 alive. And we thank her for allowing us to use that track. Log V, we love you. You can look her up, and you can look that track up on iTunes and any other social media that you could possibly dream of. Log V is on there, I promise you. That's just how she does things. We love you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Also want to give a shout out to our girl, Darlene, who is not in the studio with us on tonight. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, Darlene. Where are you, girl? She is. Darlene is out of town this week on some work business, and we do miss her. But we know she's going to listen back to this show, so we're going to give her plenty of laughs on tonight. We love you, girl. We miss you. But everybody else is in the eclectic room. Come on, ladies. Give a shout out.
Yes, yes.
Hello.
Yes. Hello.
Hello.
You meant to say hello in a higher voice. Don't worry about it. They know you.
I'm screaming today.
That's Wendy Smith. Wendy Smith with the nice, deep voice for a woman. Hallelujah. Anyways. So, what's in the know tonight, ladies? What's in the know? Anybody have something in the know?
Because
if y'all don't, I got something.
Go ahead.
It looks like you have something.
I do.
Okay, good.
Now, somebody sent this to me earlier today. All my spiritual daughters always looking out for me. And they're like, Mom, I think this will be a good what's in the know, you know,
really?
for tonight. So, I saw they sent me a picture of this young lady in a prom dress. The prom dress literally had, like, her breasts, like, were everything, like, except for the nipples and the areola were covered, but everything else was exposed. And her stomach, she only had one little button on her left side holding the dress together. So belly, all this is out, all the legs and the thigh, and this is out, literally, like, this is talk about the breast area. Y'all can't see me using my hands, but imagine, women, your breast area, you have no bra on, and it's just draped. The dress is really just kind of draped on her, but her breast, I almost said the other word, the T word, but her breast.
Thank you.
Her breast, yeah, gotta be politically correct in the air. But they were hanging out, and so I thought about a question. I want to put this out to you, too, on tonight.
Okay.
Should prom dresses be regulated at all proms?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Unfortunately, because of that, it should. Just like they do regulate, some schools now regulate who can come to their prom.
Absolutely. My daughter's
school
really? Did that.
Yeah,
my daughter's school did that.
He took a day outside of their school, so he
approval.
Had to get approval.
I love it.
From their school about her before he can bring her
I love it.
To their prom.
Mm-hmm.
So, unfortunately, because of the times that we're living in and the way that girls' parents aren't thinking to help their daughters,
Parent probably thought that was hot.
That's what I'm saying, but they don't think. They're not thinking anymore.
Yeah.
They don't think that that draws the negative attention, and then you wonder why your daughter, unfortunately, was missing and was raped and, you know, all that other crazy nonsense. And then we want to cry something else, but we, unfortunately, we're not teaching our young ladies to be respectful to their own bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, just off the cusp of my head and not really thinking everything through, yes, regulated, just like they regulate who's coming because of all the issues they have with outside people and older guys coming that are not, you know, way too old.
Yeah.
So, you know, now we have to regulate just like they wear school uniforms and their school clothes.
Yeah.
Same thing. You just can't come all exposed like that.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
Oh, my gosh.
To bed?
Yeah. Not even to bed, like that.
But I'm just saying, with all your stuff out.
Yeah.
Go
to the shower. That's what
you shower. If you just want to sleep at
by yourself.
Yeah, don't do that, young lady.
Yeah.
Gosh,
when I saw it, I was like, man, they
how bad really, was it? Well, I got a visual.
It was really bad. Yeah, I wish I had saved it. I wish I saved it. But I really think they should regulate these prom dresses.
They should.
I'm in total agreement too. First of all, I said, my
here
Lord, I remember.
She's looking at the picture now. I wish I could show y'all.
No.
Yes, look at her body is out. Like, look, there's nothing cold in that church. Everything. Yeah.
Cold.
And what does that say? Like, what is this picture? What is it saying?
Grab me, take me now.
They make that? She's naked.
Yeah, she's naked. I told you. I was not exaggerating.
No, you weren't. No. I'm in total agreement. First of all, I started thinking back to the prom, and I'm like, I'm listening to you, Wendy, and I'm like, so they got to regulate who's coming? I'm like, wow, I'm so far removed.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
I remember, like, you couldn't get out of your house. I'm sure you remember. You couldn't get out of your house. I mean, your parents had to let you out, and
absolutely,
your dress covered. We were
head to toe.
Yeah.
You had on the little Cinderella ball dresses.
Yes.
With the little puffs out at the bottom.
Yeah. My mom made mine.
You got the wire going around.
And it was peach.
Don't make me laugh.
Girl, yes. It was peach, and I had on rust-colored shoes that matched the guy's car.
No, I rented one. I rented. My mom rented me one. Thank you, Jesus.
My mother could sew really well.
See, my mom
could.
That would have been a travesty.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
But it was tasteful. I mean,
right.
It was no nothing.
It
I mean,
classy.
I had on some nice heels, but.
It was classy.
And then you have to get permission, and I understand why, because people are bringing people older.
Yeah, against the legal age.
Against the legal
that
age.
That couldn't be allowed in any school. That looks like
it's in some school. I don't know what school she goes to.
That's a strip club.
Yes. Yes.
That's what it looks
she's
like.
She's going to perform.
Yeah.
And then, you know what she's going to do? That little clip
that
on the top.
That's
child?
A snap pop. But and if it pops, what's going to happen?
Over.
It's she over.
Wants she it has,
to pop.
Exactly.
But I wouldn't think she wanted that to pop during prom. Maybe afterwards. Not during. Jeez.
I don't even think
she wants to make a statement with that, and that's
yep.
not the right, and that shows
wow.
you where our society's headed.
Yep, that's what
it is.
Mean.
It's
wow,
not
that's
the right.
That, yeah.
Well, it's unanimous
okay,
here in the eclectic
right.
room. They
Wait.
Need to regulate prom dresses.
But you have some parents that are really argue against regulating.
Really? You think
that
so?
Outfit.
Why?
Because they feel their daughter can express themselves however they
oh,
feel
yeah.
like. They
what
can.
By being half naked?
Yes, they don't. They wouldn't think
that's,
because that's how they dress.
That's inappropriate and indecent exposure.
It is, and you need to be arrested.
Commit two crimes.
You do.
You commit two crimes. Yes.
Yes.
Well, anyways,
okay.
We
I'm
believe
sorry,
here
right.
in the eclectic room on the point that prom dresses need to be regulated. Bam. All right. Thank you, my spiritual daughter, who gave me that insight. I would not have believed that if you had told me. Thank you for showing me. So tonight, we're going to get into our hot topic, talking about forgive and forget. You can't build something new on past experiences.
Yeah.
I'm sure if it's not ourselves, we've experienced or know others that have tried so desperately to do this this particular thing by building something new with the past or based on the past. So tonight we want to kind of uncover some things, give you some tips, some wisdom, and some insight on how to start building afresh, building new, and letting go of the past. So, but we got a guest in the studio tonight. Her name is, I'm not even going to say her name. We're just going to welcome her tonight.
Yeah, well,
oh, yeah.
Welcome.
And we're going to let her sing just a little snippet of her music to get us kicked off on our show. Come on. Let's go. Let's welcome her, guys. Come on. Yeah. I see y'all jamming out there. Sing, Joan.
I love this part.
Oh, I went to the next court.
Thank you, Gloria Gaynor. Let's thank Gloria.
Yes,
thank you,
Gloria.
Thank you. So she was singing a little bit about this whole survival mechanism and, you know, being hurt, being disappointed, and, you know, in the whole relational thing. And then she just finally got to a point where she was like, go on now, go. Walk out the door.
Mm-hmm.
Don't turn around now.
Because
you're not welcome anymore, you know, and that is one of the very pertinent keys to moving forward. You know, we have to learn how to bring closure, close doors to the path so that we can move forward. Because a lot of times we try to keep the entryway a little open, you know, through a little hope and whatever else it is. So
just
we allow it.
Just,
yeah, that's it.
Just in case.
Just as the fallback kid, you know.
Yeah.
But we have to realize that there's certain relationships and certain things within the past of our relationships we have to be willing to just let go. We got to be willing to let go and move forward with. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight, guys. That's,
yep.
Y'all ready?
Because you can't move forward until you release the past, because the past is always going to hold you back.
So, I got a couple of questions I'm going to throw out to y'all, and, you know, we can kind of feed off and talk about it. Why do people carry unnecessary baggage into a new relationship? Why do they carry that kind of baggage into a new relationship? Most people already know that the baggage is going to cause some type of issue, but yet we still do it. So what do you ladies think is one of the reasons, in your own thoughts, what do you think is one of the reasons why people carry the baggage? Why not dump the luggage? What's up?
Fear to face reality.
Mm.
Fear to face the reality, because you're going to have to take a look at that.
Mm.
You're going to have to deal with it.
Yeah.
You've got to sort through that.
You
got to
deal.
Yeah.
Have to deal
some
with
people
it.
Don't want to confront it.
They
don't
easier.
Want to deal because it's going to hurt to deal with it.
So they just carry it around.
So they just try to, like, a facade and carry it around and pack it up.
Mm.
Like, you know, okay, I'll just put this away because I don't want to feel this anymore.
Mm.
You know, so they just feel it. They never get to deal with it. They feel and pack it away.
Mm.
And so when something similar comes, it's there, you know. So
The trigger is going to continue to bring it forward.
So they got to learn. And then they just don't know how to get rid of it.
Mm.
They don't know how to get rid of it. What do I do with it now? I've been hurt. What do I do? And some people don't. They just don't know what to do with the hurt.
Mm.
Because people are afraid to be healed.
Mm.
People are afraid to be healed because you have to be
vulnerable.
Exposure. Authenticity.
Yeah.
There was another one. Transparency.
Yeah.
You got to do all of that. And people are afraid to take a look at themselves. Oh, my goodness. What if I go too far? Am I ever going to come back? What if? I'm serious.
And that's the dealing part of it.
That's the deal. That's
wow.
The deal.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. Now, do you all feel that baggage, as we're terming it, baggage can become clutter?
Yeah. It can become junk.
But clutter in the sense of just collecting, you start adding to that baggage. You're
like a hoarder.
Yeah.
You become a hoarder.
You become like an emotional hoarder.
An emotional hoarder.
Yeah, where you're just collecting along. As you go, you start packing every negative experience or every bad thing. You start putting it in that
you're
same.
You're hoarding emotion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it becomes, you become emotionally cluttered.
Coach my world.
Psychologist.
That's like like a, I'm serious, that's like a emotional hoarding.
Yes. Yes.
Go to my world.
Yes.
And then that's when you become depressed.
Yes.
You're just on the,
absolutely.
Because you have those layers.
You have all
of
these layers of negative
emotions.
Just
that you
controlling
have
your, just controlling you. Really, I mean, think about it. Carrying around luggage that you're not using, full of stuff. That becomes exhausting.
It weighs you down.
It weighs you down.
That becomes so exhausting. Like, really. It's like carrying around luggage. You know, okay, I've gone to Atlanta and I'm back now, but I'm getting ready to go to Paris now. So instead of dumping the luggage, you know, instead of unpacking and you know, I take all of that with me in addition
and
to
you show
what
more
I'm getting
stuff in it.
Yes.
That's a very good analogy, too.
Yes.
Like you never unpack.
You
your
never
pack.
Unpack.
You're constantly
you
padding.
Yeah. But with dirty stuff.
Yeah,
because you've
stuff.
Used this stuff.
Yeah, you don't get rid of
this. This is from a past trip.
And you never took it out and did
you
the laundry.
You never did anything with it. You never dealt with the content
of, that
of
bag.
Your bag.
Wow.
And a lot of people walk around from relationship to relationship, you know, with that mindset. That's what they do. They walk around from relationship to relationship,
mm-hmm.
carrying one, you know, luggage to luggage to luggage.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, man, how do you expect for your relationship, the current one,
right.
to be
go
successful?
Anywhere. It can't. It won't be able to really go forward the way
it won't survive,
to
like
right.
Gloria was just telling us.
I don't even think you can go far at all. Can you get to the airport?
Well, now then you got to pay for extra luggage. So
right,
it's
your
a price.
Over
it's a price. Yes, honey. And you only get one check on free for some airlines.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's important for us to start dealing with our baggage, you know. And I think what we want, our objective tonight is to really help our listening audience to start becoming emotionally healthy enough to move on. And to move on into the next relationship, understanding when is it time to move on? Because
mm-hmm.
I think sometimes people move on too early. They haven't really dealt, like you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't dealt, but I'm trying to establish something new. It doesn't work.
Well,
there's
no healing.
There isn't.
There's
right.
no healing.
No.
None.
There's no healing. So really, you're going nowhere.
Yeah, nowhere.
You haven't dealt with it.
You
right.
haven't dealt with it. You haven't dealt
so
with
you're emotionally wounded, carrying all that baggage, thinking you're going to get a new thing. You're not
mm-hmm.
going to get a new thing.
Mm-mm. When you smell what's coming up out of that luggage.
And I really believe that we draw.
That's true.
What's that?
I really believe that we draw. If we believe that we're going forward
mm-hmm.
and we've never had healing and we're still carrying the baggage, we're going to attract ourselves. We're going to be attracted to the very thing that we
that
need
we are,
to be
yeah.
running from.
Yeah. Absolutely. We're going to attract ourselves.
Right, who we represent ourselves
yeah.
to be.
Yeah,
that's true.
We're going to track who we what we've become or
mm-hmm.
what we've allowed ourselves to become.
Which is interesting because, you know, you hear people, you hear women talk about, well, I want something new, I want this, I want that, I want that. But you're really attracting what you are.
Yes.
The mirror image of yourself.
That stank luggage.
Loaded.
Loaded baggage.
Over 50 pounds.
Dirty. Just nasty.
Been to four continents.
You got bitterness, unforgiveness, anger, all of these vile things just stored up that you've carried from. And the present person doesn't even deserve that. The present situation doesn't even, it's not even right. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes people can't even control it because they've allowed that emotional realm to be so whacked up that it's out of control now. So anything I want to be or anything I want to do or however I want to act or receive or
mm-hmm.
reject, that's what comes out because that's all I'm carrying.
Yep.
And when you have too much in a baggage, what can you do? If you want to put something new in there, what are you going to have to do?
You got to take
that stuff out.
Isn't that why the Word of God says you can't pour new wine
into old wineskins, lest the old, that wineskin burst. Because the old wineskin does not have the capacity to deal with something authentic or something genuine. And when we are carrying baggage, we are simply not being genuine. We're not being authentic, and it's hard to be.
And then how would your heart be able to receive anything new if it's clogged up, if your arteries are clogged up?
Right.
Joan in there. Oh, Lord, we're going for the arteries now.
But it's the true. Bypass.
Something. Yeah.
I'm serious, really. Like, we want all of this love. We want all of this thing, but we don't even love ourselves. We haven't even forgiven ourselves for the past. We're carrying all that unforgiveness,
mm-hmm.
but yet
on.
Expecting the
something
real
new.
Deal.
Yeah, right. Somebody to come
but,
in.
You know, when you think about somebody that's hoarded all that, they don't even know who they really are.
You can't.
You can't.
Because they're layers under. The real person is layers underneath all of that stuff.
Remember that show? Can't think of the name of it right now. Where they kind of pretended who was the real thing, and they were sitting in the chairs. Will the real so and so please stand up?
Vaguely.
Yeah, vaguely. I don't remember the name
of the show. But that must be what it's like when we carry things.
Yeah. Yeah. And the real person can't stand up. It's under too much weight. It's under too much emotional.
How much do people really are able to really see themselves, though? Do you know what I mean? I mean, if you're caring so much, is a person really able to really? I mean, you've worn a facade. You've worn so many masks for so doggone long.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it's become a part of you.
That's why I thought of that show.
Yeah.
Will the real.
Yeah.
You know.
No, the real Renee, stand up. I don't know who she is. I can't find her.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, hold up. Let me try to find her, you know. And I think some people, especially women, because we deal in our emotional realm so much, sometimes we want to find ourselves, but it's so much, it's so heavy that we don't even know where to begin. We don't even know how to get from under, you know.
Ourselves.
We don't know how to get from under it. So that's what we're going to attempt to try to help them with tonight.
Mm-hmm. Y'all ready?
Oh, yeah.
Y'all ready? So I want to, let's kind of go here first.
Okay.
Let's talk about how to become emotionally healthy after a breakup.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Most of us have experienced a breakup. I don't know about you because you've been saved all your life.
Wait a minute.
And she went
from
right.
She's
been saved to the cradle and she got married right and everything. So this one over here may not know about the breakup.
I do.
But I do. And I do too.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Joan, you and I will do as much. She'll just listen and jump in.
She'll give it from the cradle.
She'll give it from the cradle. Give hope for the weary.
Oh, God.
So the first thing, this is the first thing. These are just some things I jotted down in my thought process. The first thing we need to do to become emotionally healthy after breakup is let yourself feel.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Let yourself feel. I think too often society puts too much pressure on us to try to look like we got it all together, to act like we got it all together, which makes us go almost into a denial of the truth of what's actually going on.
Mm-hmm.
So we stifle or we mute the feeling. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And so in order for you to work towards healing, you got to let yourself feel. Some people have to allow themselves. Some people have to say, Joan, you have to say to yourself, Joan, it's okay for you to feel. It's okay to feel this. You know, you don't have to block this feeling out. It's okay.
And they got to be strong.
Yeah.
I got to be strong.
It's just a strong person to feel.
Right. But it's the opposite. They feel it takes a strong person to
mask.
To hold it down in a mask.
To hold it down in a mask.
Yeah.
And that's the opposite, you know.
Yeah.
True.
Well, because we are socialized such that, you know, like, please, like, who wants to deal with it? Like, you can't really.
Like, it's not bothering you. Yeah.
Yeah, really. Like, you know, or people want to say, like, that's too heavy for you to show yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Or they don't want anybody to talk about them. As if, you know.
They're not all together?
Yeah, like, girl, child, what you doing? Crying about that? Or, you know what I'm saying? Like,
lighten up. Get it together.
He didn't deserve you. And, now that, you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. She didn't deserve you. And, well, dudes don't do that too much. But girls, women are more emotional in breakups. You know, so they have to try to, you know, not seem as if they were all shaken up over it, or it really impacted
them too much.
Yeah, like it really broke them down.
No, listen. You know? If you're hurting, if you've been hurt or disappointed, you gotta go ahead and identify those feelings. God gave us feelings. He gave
for
them
reason.
For a reason. Feelings are outlets. Feelings are vents. They're ventilations
expression.
To what we are. They're expressions to what we're dealing with. And if we mask the feelings, we will never, ever get to the place of healing, which is going to cause us to drop that baggage.
But you're good for, you're very good at, you know, because I remember when, with everything with my mom and everything, it's not to do with relationships, but
yeah.
You were like, I'm asking you, how are you doing?
Yeah, what's up?
Because I kept saying, because
God is good.
All the time.
Faith.
What?
Yes, I'm strong. Girl, Joan, no. What's really up? How are you?
Right.
What's going on with Joan?
Because, you know, from the believer's perspective, you know, it's almost like, you know, there's a question of your faith comes into question if you're having feelings.
Lord have mercy.
It's the truth.
And it's the truth.
It's the truth because there's a dichotomy between that.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is.
A big one.
A real big one.
Because then people go, well, where's your faith? And don't you have any? And, well, look, you go take care. That being a caregiver for somebody will take you to the lowest of your
Listen.
It will.
It will bring you to your knees.
It will bring
Jesus
you to your
name.
Knees in
yes.
Jesus' name.
Yes.
But I learned to express myself.
You have to.
I did. I said it for what it was.
Because if not, where are those feelings going? You're hoarding them. Where are they going?
And then you have a nervous breakdown.
Exactly, because they've been meant to express. They've been meant to express.
Mm-hmm.
So the first process, if anyone's out there listening,
yeah.
You've had a bad breakup, or even if you think you've moved on, but you had a bad breakup and you never ever felt it, if you didn't deal with your feelings, allow your feelings to express what you. Now listen, I'm not talking about those crazy feelings. Like you want to go slash tires and shoot somebody and beat somebody. No, not those. Those are displaced feelings. Let's deal with the real feeling. The real feeling is you were hurt, you were disappointed, you know, you're feeling whatever. We want to deal with those feelings. But you got to deal with those feelings. You got to let yourself allow the person to feel. Permit the body, the human psychological part of us to do what it does. This is how it processes.
But the only way to be healed is like go through the stages, just like you would go through. There are stages to grief.
Absolutely.
Because
right.
There are stages of a grieving process.
Right.
Okay, the
exactly.
Relationship is over. I'm in shock now.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're right on it, too. You're right. Right on it. That's the first thing I have.
I'm in
shock. You're going to feel shock and denial.
Yeah, and then you're going to get mad at that.
But you got to, after the hurt, after the shock and denial, then you start feeling hurt and guilt.
Right.
Then
the anger comes.
The anger and the bargaining, you know, like maybe if I change, then maybe it can work, you know, but I'm angry, you know. No, you start going through all these mixed emotions. Then it can progress into depressed and lonely.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't start dealing with the process,
you got to.
And that goes with everything. Really goes with everything.
Yes,
that
it's
really
so important.
Goes with everything.
And we have mm-hmm. to, you know, you got to start accepting. You have to accept that it is over.
Yep.
Accept
that
yeah. it is
well,
what
first.
It
that's
is.
The, yeah.
You have to accept.
You have to accept.
This is what it
after
is
you
right
let
now.
Yourself, because you got to let yourself feel. If you don't feel, you're not going to accept it.
That's true.
You have to feel. You got to feel off the bat. But then you need to accept that this is over. Get
right.
out of the denial. Get over the shock.
Yep.
It's done. He's broke your heart. You broke his. Whatever has happened is over. It's ended. Now accept that. I'm not saying acceptance means I like it. Acceptance means that I understand this is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in denial that
right.
We're over.
Right. But you know what a lot of people do, and I think men do this more than women. Instead of going through the process of all of the
yeah.
stages, they hop into something else.
Come on,
right.
man. You're ready.
Right
thinking
it.
That
they're ready because they use it as a rebound.
Right.
It's a rebound.
And
not
men
a relationship.
Men do that much more
yeah, because they definitely
don't deal in emotion.
They don't deal in emotion.
Yeah.
They don't deal with.
They're on the other extreme.
They
don't deal, and we're way on the other.
We don't deal effectively and not productively at all in
Jesus' name.
We think we're not, but we're not.
We're so broken and we're so emotionally damaged.
But most people didn't know how to deal. We didn't have
anybody to tell us.
That's true. We just say, people just say, just pray.
You know
just
what I'm
pray,
saying?
Baby. Pray,
or
pray and let the Lord heal you.
If you didn't know anybody to pray, you just got to, come on, get it together. Come on, you got this. You better than
like
this.
You're
you
right.
Know, you know, okay,
right.
Just move on.
Our parents, but we grew up in a generation where our parents weren't telling us how to
do anything, pretty much nothing.
How did we miss? Just pray.
By the grace of God.
Ask Jesus.
God.
How did we make it? We weren't taught a thing.
Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Because I ain't telling you nothing.
No,
we weren't.
Tell you.
No.
They only gave you spiritual wisdom.
Spiritual wisdom. There was no practicality.
There was no practical,
no natural,
nothing
on
nothing.
How to process, how
nothing.
To deal. Let God work it out. No, Jesus can't work this out.
You know,
I got to work this
but
out.
But you know God's grace is serious when we sit and think about that.
Yes,
real,
it was only his grace.
That we didn't, like, lose it.
That's why he says his mercy
grace,
and grace
is
from generation to generation.
Yeah.
So
thank
from
God.
Every generation, we gain more wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
We gain more insight. But it's the grace that's over, you
well,
know,
God
our dispensation. Yeah. That's all it
wow.
is.
Mm,
our
okay.
kids don't know nothing about that.
Mm,
this generation will be torn up if they had the wisdom,
oh.
what was given to us.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Oh, just pray. All right. I got your just praying.
we'll be praying this. All
yeah,
right.
yeah. I got another kind of prayer. So after we let ourselves feel, after we accept it, then we have to forgive. We have to forgive them, and we have to forgive ourselves. Forgiveness is the big key. I looked at this scripture in Mark 11:25. It says, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Isn't it ironic how he says him? Forgive him. Thank you, Jesus. I hear you, Lord. And let it drop. Leave it. Let it go. In order that your Father who is in heaven may also forgive you your own failings and shortcomings and let them drop.
And the big one is, in order so...
You can be forgiven.
Exactly.
Because I think a lot of times we want to get into victim mode, you know, and I'm not justifying anyone that has been hurt. I'm not trying to even make it seem like it wasn't serious or painful. I'm just saying we can never get to the place where we won't exercise forgiveness, because forgiveness is not even for them, it's for me, it's for
you. Yeah,
it's so that I can keep the portals of forgiveness open over my own life.
That's right, and that's so serious.
That is so serious. I need God to be able to forgive me, John.
All the time.
Oh, I mess
every
up
day.
A lot.
Yes.
I do too.
I hurt people, you know, I need God to forgive me.
Yeah.
So in order to keep that open, and yes, we know Christ came and died and he forgave us and all of our sins, but there's a daily forgiving that's happening on our behalf because of Jesus and his mediation, you know, between him and God.
I love what you said, keep the portal.
I got to keep those portals. Listen, I need to keep the portals of forgiveness open over my life.
Oh, yeah.
So I have to forgive. If he hurt me, I have to forgive him.
Have to.
I have. It's a mandate.
Forgiveness is a mandate.
It is.
Like loving, like love is.
Yes. And people want to excuse it as a process. I beg to differ. Forgiveness, you just have to do it. Now, the feeling, you have to process.
The healing
is a part of the process.
Yes.
But forgiveness is a decision.
Instant, too.
It's instant. I'm either going to forgive you or I'm not.
Mm-hmm. And then the working out of that healing is
that's
the part
of the healing.
That's the
healing.
Process. That's
right.
The process. That's
and people
want
to say, oh, you know, it's a process. I can't just forgive
because
like
they're
that.
Still holding on.
They still, they haven't let go.
They haven't dropped it.
They haven't dropped it. They haven't let it
drop it
go.
Like it's hot.
Hey, drop it like
it's hot.
Drop it. Okay, yeah. But.
Drop it. It is hot. So drop
it. You remember that game? Hot potato. That's the one we didn't play.
That one would have been good.
That would have been fun. But anyway. You know, we have to forgive, and then we have to forgive ourselves. Never feel that because the relationship broke up that you didn't have a part to play in that.
I was going to say something about that. I really believe, yeah. Well, you just hit my thought. There is a portion of responsibility that we have to take.
Absolutely.
And
you have to own your part.
You have to own your part.
Come on.
In all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you look back, people are always like, well, yeah, you know, well, your ex-husband was abusive. Yes, sure he was.
Yeah.
But I played a role in the decision making to allow
things.
I had to forgive myself for
allowing
myself to get that low that I would think that that's acceptable.
Exactly. Exactly. There you go.
Everybody has 50-50.
Everybody has
50-50.
Their own 50-50.
50-50.
50-50, like my
50
kids.
50
cent.
50. Boy, he's less of the flesh.
Just right. Stars just rising up.
We're riding on stars over here.
Yes, Lord Jesus. So after you forgive them and forgive yourself, then you need to release any regrets. Release any regrets. When you let go, then you are able to bring closure. It's hard. You cannot bring closure and have regrets at the same time. Because regret implies that I'm still there. I'm still there. So when you let go, now I got to release the regrets of everything. I can't look at it as everything as negative. I'm looking at what I've gained versus what I've lost.
Amen. Amen on that.
Because if not, you will stay in regret.
Yeah, because, you know, when I look at, when I look upon things, I look to the past only to see what I have gained and how it is beneficial, you know, in everything that I do now.
Mm-hmm.
If it weren't for all of that that I went through, I would not be able to help women who have been abused and all of that kind of stuff. But I do not regret my marriage. I don't regret anything that I went through because God saved me. He delivered me. He healed me, and he made me whole.
Come on now. Come on, preach that thing.
Oh.
And she's snapping with it.
He did. It's true, you know. And so you hear people talk sometimes like, I regret. Well, you're still back
there.
You're
still
there.
You're still there if you're regretting.
And, you know, people think it's healthy to regret.
Shut up.
I don't think so.
Girl, bye.
Girl, bye. You were about to say something.
Right. I was going to say, okay, is this the point where I stop rehearsing the hurt over and over, playing it like a movie in my head all the time, like I'm just replaying this movie over and over and over.
Yeah, because this is a part of letting go. You got to let it go. You can't keep rehearsing it.
That's how we hold on to it.
You're absolutely correct.
We'll just keep rehearsing it.
You're correct.
Because think about it. What's the purpose of rehearsing? What's the purpose of rehearsing in general? Why do we rehearse?
To get parts that we missed and things that
and to make sure we have it right,
we got it right.
Yeah,
we're getting ready for
exercise the memory
to keep it alive,
and that's what we do. We like you were saying, rehearsing that over and over. That means we haven't let it go.
And it's like one of those, like you remember those old cinematic things?
Yes,
it's real. It's just going, and it's just going, and you're just replaying it and revisiting it and clogging up. Your own heart,
and keeping yourself in that negative emotional state.
And then your mindset cannot be transformed.
That means you're not ready for another relationship.
No, there's no renewal of the mind. Not if you're playing a cinematic wheel from yesteryear.
And they don't even have them rules anymore.
Right.
I think everything is cool now.
Yes.
It's cool.
They used to turn it dark and it would go
I used to love to set it.
Yes.
Right.
To set it up.
Yeah.
The empty one and then the
full. Set the reel in
there. Yeah, yeah. The
empty
one in there.
The empty one in the back.
Oh, man.
Some of our listeners don't know nothing about that.
Yeah, don't know.
Sorry, guys. We had a flashback.
That just gave up. Yeah.
So when we don't let go, this is what's going to happen.
Okay.
We're going to continue to blame the other person.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're going to play the victim.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to avoid experiencing any new or unknown things.
True.
Mm, very true.
So we start doing the avoidance thing.
Blame
the victim.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And avoidance. Yeah. So when we don't let go and release the regrets, this is why we end up there, because we have not released regrets. So he did me wrong. Yeah, I'm the pitiful. I'm the victim.
And then the pity parties.
And the pity parties and all the things that come along with being the victim. And it wasn't me. It was him. It wasn't me. I do it. It was him. It was him. Every time, like taking your portion. You know,
do that. I remember when I went to therapy. That was one of the first things that my psychologist implemented.
Mm-hmm.
I had to.
Yeah.
He told me, go take a look at yourself. And, you know, we need it. And it was frightening. That's how I know that people don't want to take a look at themselves. I had to actually accept that I allowed that.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So you can own it. So that you
can
own it.
And I did.
Yeah.
And I did.
And that's the only way you were going to even begin to heal.
But women don't want to take a look at it. Well, men either.
No, I don't think any species. Just it's in that human nature. The
right.
Sinful nature.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so hard for us to do the positive in those things that it takes. It's easy for us to stay in the opposite of the good.
Yeah.
It's so easy to hold on. It's so easy to be angry. It's so easy to be hurt and stay there versus trying to get out, because that's our simple nature.
You're absolutely. It's minus courage, because it's going to take courage.
It takes courage to walk out.
It takes courage to watch out.
Right. So I'll just stay here.
And I'm comfortable all in this
I'll
mess.
Just be messed up.
Hoarding.
Versus
emotional hoarder.
Doing some work. And it takes work. You know?
Yeah.
It does. You gotta work.
And people don't want to work.
They don't
want to
work.
Healing requires work.
They just want it to happen.
And it's not just gonna happen. I don't care how much oil we put on you.
Right.
And how much we fast and pray.
And how much you cry all night and day.
No.
It's not
and how much
happen.
You're slain in the spirit on the altar on Sunday morning.
It's not just going to happen. It takes work.
You can be slayed all the time.
I'm speaking in tongues, I'm stuff too.
Right.
But it's not going
to
heal you.
You got to work it.
Not going
to
heal you.
You're going to have to work it.
You know, it's such a process. You know, like when you think about things and when you said, I have to have forgiveness like all day long, I do too. Because every day I'm learning something.
Listen,
I'm like, Jesus, please.
Keep me near the cross. Literally.
Please.
Yes. Please
by the cross. But
At the cross,
where our first cross was.
And the breaks on my heart rolled away.
Remember that one?
No, y'all.
And then remember when it was speed up?
It was saying my faith. I received my sight.
And now I am happy all the day.
Exactly. Now, where we went sideways with that, you know,
anyway.
I don't know, guys. But anyway, we got to release the regret. And stop thinking about time being lost. You know, understand that, you know, I didn't lose time. Mm. And I'm not, because right now, if we stay there, we're wasting time. We need to embrace
right.
that.
Ooh, preach that.
You got to embrace it right now. What are you doing? Because every moment that you're going to regret.
Say it again.
Girl, what did I say?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Holy Ghost.
Embrace.
Don't worry about losing time. Worry about losing time, because you're wasting time staying in regret. You need to embrace the now.
Amen.
Embrace it right now. You know, what are you waiting on?
Yeah.
Like, you are wasting time staying in that.
Yes, a lot of time. Your time is precious.
What did Coach Club say? What's his name? Borgia? Time won't give me time.
Mm-hmm.
He said, time won't give me time, because time make livers feel like they got something. But you and me, we know we got nothing but time. But, you know, you're wasting time. Do not waste time in regrets. Let's keep it moving forward. Philippians 3. Mm-hmm. 13 and 14, familiar scripture. It says, I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet, but one thing I do, it is my one aspiration, forgetting what lies behind.
I love that.
And straining forward to what lies ahead. Mm-hmm. I press on toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. So right here, he was letting them know, listen, you got to forget what's back there. You got to forget regrets. You got to move forward. And he mentioned press, so we know it's not just like it's going to be
easy.
It's going to
be
some resistance.
It's
going to
be
some resistance,
right.
But press towards what?
The prize.
Right. And as believers, we have a great prize ahead of us. What are we doing? What are we doing? If God's promised us the best, wasting time.
Spinning
wheels and calling on Jesus to take the wheel. No, you need to stop wasting time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jesus, because as you often say, like, you know, people are waiting for the Lord to do all of this, and the Lord is waiting on us.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. He's waiting on us.
He's giving you
waiting on us.
The ability,
Holy
the power.
Spirit, right.
To do
that's
everything
right.
that you need
but
to
we're
do.
Calling on him
we're
for
calling
stuff.
On him for stuff.
That he has,
and that's why he's not
he
answering.
Who is in He who is in me is that's
he's greater.
Right.
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 Yeah.
And so
that's why
we're
praying amiss. Because he's not gonna answer any of that. Yeah, we're all wrong.
Jesus.
That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works.
My mom lives there.
Like
Jesus.
That commercial. Like
yes.
That commercial.
Yes.
This is all wrong. This is all wrong. None of this is right. This is not how it's done.
And works. That is why you're not getting an answer.
No, because it's a miss. You are the greater one is already on the inside of you. And so as
and
believers,
we have it all.
We have it. We have the capacity.
We call for peace, and he says, peace, I leave you.
It's all right. I already gave it to you.
Right.
Jesus gave me peace. It was mm-hmm. there. I need your help. He's there.
You know? Unleash the Holy Spirit. Please.
Yes, he's there. He's there. I left him there, too. So we just got to work.
Like I think you said it earlier. Mm-hmm. We don't want to work.
We don't want to work. We just want to stay in that negative state of being.
Well, because, you know, really, in a sad reality, because that craziness, that mayhem is actually comfortable.
It's
safer there.
It's complacent. Yeah, that's it. Because
yeah.
It's familiar.
It's
I know what to expect here.
Right. But if I do this, I don't know what to expect.
That's,
and some people are afraid of freedom.
Ooh.
I need to tweet that one.
That is so true.
Yes.
Yeah, they are.
They are. They're afraid because they don't know what to expect.
Right.
It's the unknown.
It
people
is.
People are afraid of freedom.
Ooh, I hope y'all
because
getting these nuggets,
the unknown,
man.
Because
you're no longer
all of that, but
yeah.
Who are you?
But who am I? Who the heck am I?
Mm-hmm. That's a good book title.
It is.
Who the heck am I? Got to put that heck like big caps, you know. That's true. Who the heck am I?
Because, you know, you don't know yourself.
No.
Minus all that stuff.
Yeah.
People are, ooh,
because
yeah.
All you know is the stuff.
Mm.
That's all you know.
I hope y'all are picking these nuggets up.
That's why
there's some good nuggets.
Some of them don't know what to do when they get out because all they know is bondage. So when they see freedom, they don't know what to
Girl,
do with freedom.
That.
Yes. That's the
so
point.
They just seem back up in bondage. So it's safer and more comfortable for me to be bound than me to be free. Because
Ooh.
When I get in freedom, I don't know what to do. And
yeah.
I'm afraid of it.
I'm unleashed. Yes.
Yeah.
You
that's
know?
Good.
Well,
that's
what movie? You know, I'm always reflecting. Is that The Green Mile?
Probably, yes.
It was The Green Mile, wasn't
it? I think
it? So. Wow. Remember?
Yeah.
When he got out,
mm-hmm.
one of them hung himself.
Yeah, they didn't
the
know what
other
to
one,
do.
They didn't even know what to do with themselves.
No, mm-hmm. don't know
wow.
how to live outside of the bondage.
Yep.
My goodness.
Incarcerated.
Right.
Within.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, that's a good book.
Mm-hmm. That's a good title, too.
And that's that.
We're just dropping book titles.
Incarcerated within.
Here.
And it's the scripture I think I was reading today, this
mm-hmm.
morning. It speaks about, you know, condemnation and sin.
Yeah, there's therefore now.
Right, there's therefore now no condemnation. But we like to be, you know, bound in that. That flesh keeps us bound. But when we have, if we have the Spirit of Christ
mm-hmm.
that takes priority over our flesh, then that's eternal life. That's light. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But we are not captivated by light, but we're captivated and enticed by darkness.
By the darkness.
You know what I'm saying? So it's
our
like,
lower nature.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is our lower nature.
Mm-hmm.
So
our lower nature.
Our lower
right.
nature, which where our emotions reside, keeps us in that lower part.
Incarcerated within.
Right, which is still in darkness.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But if we actually truly want to be free, which is in Christ, to see the light, then that's what we have to have to dominate us. But we have to work to get out of that, to
mm-hmm.
stay out of that, because our lower nature
has
been the dominant one and comfortable.
Revert back
yeah.
So
it's always
yeah.
work to stay out of darkness.
It's the proclivity of the lower nature. Yeah.
Because that's what we were born and shaped into.
That's why we have to press.
That's why there's always going to be a press.
Mm. Every single
because
day.
We were born and shaped into this
yeah.
that we're in.
Yeah.
So there's always going to be work. So even though the work that we do, we have to do it, but yet Christ is the only one that can make it actually happen or manifest.
That's good. That's good.
But he had, like we always said, Holy Spirit has to have something to work
gotta
with.
Got to have something to work with, guys.
So we got to work,
it don't work
this process
yeah.
of this hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I really believe you can't tell me. I don't care how many times you hear someone say they have gone to Buddha or whomever, and all the therapists in the world. If you don't have Christ, you have no freedom.
Not, yeah.
You have no fulfillment. You're
no.
constantly searching.
You have just a lot of information.
Yeah.
But no life.
No life.
No life.
No mm. life and no light.
No, exactly.
Yep.
Oh, that was good. That's good. That's good, guys. So we're releasing the regrets. We're not thinking about time being lost. We're embracing now. And we were alluding to, you got to find and rediscover yourself.
Right.
Find and rediscover your new you. Who are you? And be okay with being alone. Sometimes we're so scared to even be by ourselves because we don't even know this person that we're with ourselves.
That's why you find so many women that can't be alone and they continue to remain in the same
cycle. Even if it's with someone else, it's going to be the same
bondage,
cycle,
over
the same
and over.
Bondage, or they become dependent or codependent on other people. You know, this is why you can find women, especially women, because we talk most of our audience, they're women. They'll tend to maybe, like they say, you know, go to the other side. You know, they start because why? I'm trying to I need to be with somebody, but I don't want to be with that anymore because that hurt me, and because I didn't deal with that, you know, I'm gonna just kind of take this emotional situation over to the other side, and you know, it really complicates a whole lot of stuff.
Oh yeah, because that is
Shawshank Redemption.
Exactly.
Shawshank Redemption,
not the Green Mile, right?
No, Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman, right.
Yeah.
Because the other side gives this allure that what you weren't able to get from the heterosexual union that God created,
mm-hmm.
you can get here.
You can get it here.
You
that's
can
the,
get it
that's
all
the
here.
Deception.
That is the deception.
But when you
and it lure, it's very it lures.
It's luring. Yeah.
It's not just
like, hey, I'm here.
Right.
No, it pulls you in. Pulls you in through comfort. Pulls you in through
what you
understanding.
I understood.
Yeah. It pulls you in. So I could treat you better. I could treat you better. I understand you better.
Because I'm a woman
just like you. And that is so deceptive.
From the pit of hell.
From the pit. From the Beelzebub abyss,
the 11th realm,
Hades, the 11th realm of Hades.
Yes.
11th realm of Hades. And so we have to make sure that we're learning how to rediscover ourselves, being okay with being alone, learning how to empower and encourage ourselves, not waiting or depending on someone to come and do that for us. Because sometimes when you're in your low, when you're in the depths of whatever it is that your emotional realm,
mm-hmm.
nobody can reach you but God.
Right.
You're right.
So you got to pull on, remember we're talking about believers, you got to be able to pull on your most holy faith and start encouraging yourself. What did David do? What did David do when Ziklag got destroyed and all the people that trusted him and he their wives are gone, their children are gone, their possessions are burnt up. The word of God says David had to grab his ephod and seek the Lord himself and encourage himself in the Lord.
Because many times it's going to be just you and
it's
the Lord.
It's a lonely
Nobody,
road.
It
and
is
listen,
a lonely road. It is a lonely road.
When you are in pain, it's lonely.
It is.
Because no one can understand or identify with what you're feeling but you.
And no matter how you try to summarize,
explain, they're not going to understand. Then you get frustrated. Nobody's going to understand what I'm saying.
I just can't get an understanding.
Listen, I tell people all the time, I say, honey, I understand, but I don't. I really don't. I can only sympathize. I can't even empathize. You know, I can only have sympathy. Because empathizing means, you know, I can kind of go there with you. I can't. I don't. For some levels of hurt, I just never experienced it. I've never experienced. So you got to be able to. You got to be able to pull on your own inner strength.
And sometimes God will give us people that have a mirror.
Exactly,
thing.
but not so that we can grow codependent.
No,
that's why you got to have some kind of strength. You got to have something.
No, that's true.
Because we will grow a codependency.
Yes, you're right.
On things or people.
Yes, you're right. Out of fear.
Out of fear.
Out of fear.
Fear of being alone. Walking this alone. Listen, we'll
fear,
do this.
Fear of, oh God, are you really coming to get me?
Yeah. Through
the valley of the shadow of death.
So, you know, these are just little things we're talking about in becoming emotionally healthy after a breakup. Now, we are running out of time. I think we have 5 minutes left. So,
no way.
Yeah, time runs fast, girl.
Okay.
I hope you guys are getting something. I just want to encourage you guys, when if you're preparing to date again, because some of you may be past this stage, you know, and the emotional healing is already in operation in your life, I want you to still take your time. Take your time when preparing to date again. You know, Mariah Carey said it best in her song. She said, love takes time to heal when you've hurt it so much,
song.
You know? And so it's vitally important for us to understand. I know we got all these sacred songs, guys. Help us, Jesus. but you don't date again until you have totally closed that door. If you have not closed the door.
And until you're totally healed.
And until you are totally, but that's the total closure. That is the final closure, that I am healed.
So that you are whole within you.
That, listen, and don't try to rebound to avoid feeling, you know?
Because it's only going to snap back.
Or magnify. Or magnify. So take your time. Don't try to do that. And here are some signs. These signs I stole from somebody. These are not mine. These the four things I'm getting ready to give you. All the other stuff is mine. This, I copied this from somebody's blog. And it said they were telling some signs that you're ready to date again. I thought these were really helpful. They say you like yourself. These are signs that you're ready to date again. You like yourself. You enjoy your own company. And you're at a place in your life where you're hopeful and optimistic about your future.
Okay.
That's one sign that you're ready to date again. Here's another one. You've come to terms with all that happened in your past relationship. You're grateful for the lessons you've learned from this and all of your previous loves. And you've accepted responsibility for the mistakes you've made and for your own shortcomings.
Mm-mm.
People, here's a third one. It's three out of four. It says, you know who you are, your strengths and your weaknesses, and you're also clear about the most important characteristics and qualities that you're seeking in your future partner.
Mm.
These are signs, guys, that you know you're ready to start to try this again. And if you're not... If these signs are not manifesting in your life, you ain't ready. Okay. And the fourth one, last one, you've got an action plan for your dating strategy.
Mm.
I thought that was very interesting.
Very.
Because I don't think most single people have an action plan for their dating strategy.
Mm-hmm.
They just date. Whatever I like, whatever looks good. Ooh, he's fine. Ooh, he got this. His hair is this color. His eyes. His ooh. Look at that chest. Look at that bald head. No. What's your strategy?
Right. What did you learn from the last one?
What did you learn?
Because
while you're looking at his bald head and his bulging chest, you'd have missed the same signs that the other dude was giving off.
Yep.
What's the character look like?
You don't even know because the bald head and the bulging chest just got you all messed up. You know what I'm saying? Jacked up. You can't even see. All I see is that chest. And no.
Like that's going to carry you through a lifetime.
Yeah. That's you had a chest before. Stop playing. So you single. Start creating an action plan for your dating strategy. You know, how are you going to do this? What mistakes will you not make this time?
Exactly.
What flags will you be attentive to this time?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Because sometimes we get ourselves into situations that we didn't necessarily have to be in, but some situations we needed to be in to be awakened.
Right. And praise the Lord that what the enemy meant for bad, God will turn it around for good.
Hallelujah.
Won't he do it?
Yes, he will. Won't he do it? So, ladies and men, the few men we may have listening, whenever you're dating or whenever you date, make sure that you do it from a place of strength, a place of self-respect, and a place of wisdom. These are the attributes that would carry you in a successful and a mature relationship. You know, but the work begins with you. We can't depend on the other person. Put yourself in a place where you are prepared to date. And I don't think a lot of people understand you need to prepare to date. Just like we say, you know, prepare to get married.
Mm-hmm.
You have to prepare to date. You can't just date because I want a companion. What's your strategy? What am I doing? You know, what am I over? What it was? Did I heal? Am I whole? Am I gonna jack this man up too? You know?
And you wonder why God hasn't sent you who he has. Well, he's waiting on you to clean up yourself.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So in closing, I would say the catchphrase is unpack that luggage and wash those clothes.
Okay.
And until you do that, you are not prepared for the next trip.
You are an EH.
Listen, you are an emotional hoarder. And we want to rid the hoarding out of our lives. Let's rid the clutter.
Yeah.
You know, and declutter and leave that baggage. Unpack it and put the luggage up.
Wash your clothes.
Yeah, wash some things too. The trip is over. It's been over.
You're going to get to the airport with that bag, and it's going to be over. It's going to be over.
Yeah.
It's going to be sniffed out by the drug dog.
And you
they'll be thinking some foreign substance up in that thing.
And be locked up.
And be locked.
And you're locked down.
With your dirty luggage.
With your dirty.
Dirty luggage.
So we hope that on tonight you all have gained some nuggets. We're laughing, but we're not making light of it. It's just the joy of the Lord just keeping us in a good spirit with it, and we want you to be able to digest it and receive it. So pass these nuggets along, and you didn't have to write them down because you can always go back and listen to the archive of this, and you can take as many notes as you want to take. So, ladies, I don't know if y'all had any more closing thoughts and remarks before we pray.
Said it all. No.
Everybody's good?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, Wendy, you want to pray us out of here on tonight?
Yes.
Pray for these emotionally handicapped.
Okay.
Emotional hoarders.
Oh,
I cannot. But we're not going to use that because people do for real.
Yeah, I know they are emotionally handicapped. I'm sorry. Because that's what EH is, stands for at school.
Oh, well, this is different for the EH class.
Okay, my bad. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, God, for you, for Holy Spirit, for your wisdom.
Yeah.
God, we thank you for the people there that are listening, God. We thank you, God, that seeds were planted into their hearts and that this word, these practical words, your word, the word of God, would go, but they will allow it to work within them, and they will begin to see themselves and what they need to do to come out of the bondage of hurt and to begin to forgive and let go so that they can move forward in the direction that you want them to go. God, we thank you for every person that's there. God, continue to look upon them. And God, we thank you that this show will continue to reach even more people so that they can be helped and set free and live a life of abundance. We thank you, God, that every person that hears this show, that they are whole, healthy, and healed. And we thank you, Father, for our hostess and our here, Pastor Renee and Joan. Thank you for looking upon Darlene in her absence. Yeah. And we just give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And just a reminder, well, just some news, we forgot to let them know. Next week, we will not be on the air because we will be fasting. And so we're going to invite you. This will be a good time for you to go back, listen in our archives. But we will be back on the air the following Tuesday. So, and we'll try to post some things, I guess, next week just to, you know, keep them encouraged on next week.
Okay.
But, guys, don't lose the momentum. Don't forget about us. We won't be on next week, but you can always get us in the archives and join us on the following Tuesday, where we have some more exciting hot topics. We'll have some more What's in the Nose. And our girl Darlene Brown will be back in the house with us. So until next week, we encourage you all to have an awesome remainder of the week. We love you, listeners. Have a good night, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks on
The Point.
Good night, guys.
Good night.
I forgot to